welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
This is Jessica with Turn the Page podcast. My librarian co-host is
Megan.
And our guest today, your reputation precedes you, but can you please introduce yourself to our audience and tell us about yourself and about this book?
Right. I am Brent Spiner. I'm sure you know me from having been in introducing Dorothy Dandridge with Halle Berry, as well as Dude, Where's My Car?
Best movie.
Yeah.
Where's My Car? Yeah.
Exactly. I think Dude, Where's My Car is an underrated film. I think it is the quintessential 90s movie. But other people like other films from the 90s better. I don't understand it. But anyway, so yes, I'm Brent Spiner, and I wrote a book that is called Fan Fiction. And I believe it comes out on October 12th now.
So we loved this book so much, and this was one of the books that when you get the circulations of what's coming out immediately, I saw a book by Brent Spiner, and it's called Fan Fiction. And we're big geeks here at Syosset Library. We are huge geeks, and several of us read fan fiction, and several of us were like, did you see that Brent Spiner is writing a book called Fan Fiction? So my first instinct was, I'm going to find out who's publishing it and try to get him to come on Turn the Page. So welcome.
And here I am, happily here. And so excited that you read the book and enjoyed it.
We have a few questions.
Okay.
Yes. My first question was...
I can't answer that. I'm sorry. you didn't ask it yet. Go ahead.
Why did you decide to write a memoir instead of a standard autobiography?
Well, I'll tell you, it sort of speaks to who I am in a lot of ways. I'm much more interested in entertaining people than in, spilling my guts about everything that ever happened in my life. But to be honest with you, as a avid biography reader and a memoir reader, and I've read dozens and dozens of them, I'll give you a plug right now. Have you read the Mark Harris's Mike Nichols book? It's fantastic.
No.
I mean, if you're interested in Mike Nichols, which I was, it's a great, great book. Anyway,
I will put that on my TBR list.
Yeah, it's just one of the best biographies ever. But anyway, I would say that, and this is purely me, and has no reflection on anyone who's ever written a biography or a memoir. It's just my particular taste. I really don't care where someone's grandparents came from. And generally I like to get somewhere around chapter 3 before I start actually enjoying the book. And so I wanted to avoid that sort of tedium of, telling you all my roots and, all that stuff and jump right into it. And I had this idea for a long time to sort of write a fictional memoir, if you will, or memoir, if you will, and kind of tag team it with a thriller and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. But overall, I would say it's basically a black comedy.
It was so funny. I was so surprised. Like, I just sped through reading the book and like, I felt like if you were a Star Trek fan, it was something interesting, but you didn't need to be a Star Trek fan to enjoy the book, but Star Trek fans will definitely like enjoy this so much.
You nailed the noir voice.
Yeah. Thank you. Well, I had a lot of fun writing it. And, I'll tell you what, to be honest, it wasn't my idea necessarily to write a book. I mean, I wasn't chomping at the bit because I do this other job where I'm an actor. And an agent, a literary agent, came to me and asked me to write a book and in particular to write a memoir. And And I told them I really didn't want to do that. And they kept pressing. And I said, well, finally, I do have a story I'd like to tell. And they weren't thrilled about that idea, but they said, let's see if we can pitch it, you know, write us a proposal and we'll see if we can pitch it. And they did. And fortunately for me, St. Martin's Press at Macmillan was happy to have me write it. And to be honest, completely honest, that's at the point that when they accepted the book, that's the point at which I thought, oh my God, now I have to write a book. And oddly, this horrible pandemic we've been going through, this life-changing event for all of us, kind of gave me time to do it because there was no acting work to speak of during that period. And I thought, well, let's write this book. And that gives me something to do. And I really enjoyed doing it.
So before we go any further, just really quickly to sum up the book. So it is, it's like a hybrid memoir, but it's also written in, as I mentioned, noir style. And it takes place in the 90s on the set of Star Trek, The Next Generation. And you are the main character. And you are getting threatening mail, and you kind of have to figure out why that's happening, who's doing it. And you have these fun little cameos with your co-stars and other people. So what I want to know is, who was the most fun character to write, fictional or non-fictional?
The most fun character to write. They were all sort of fun. I mean, really, they were all fun to write. I had particular fun in writing one of the twins. I had an FBI agent and a personal bodyguard who happened to be twins, and they were really fun to write. And the police detective who ran the security department, the obsessives department at the LAPD, was fun to write. And but they were all fun. My friends were all fun to write because I had to be, well, for one thing, honestly trying to depict them in a way, in a comical way, and at the same time, not offend them. And I'm happy to say I let all of them read the book before it was finalized to make sure there was nothing in it that they were unhappy with. And to my extreme pleasure, none of them were. As a matter of fact, and I think this has already been revealed, so I think I'm free to tell you that the audiobook, they all do their own voices in it as well.
That's amazing. That's absolutely amazing. I have to say, I love LeVar Burton. Seems like such a good sport. I recently came upon a web series that you had done a few years back called Fresh Hell. Yes. And I mean, one question I have is, what did you do to make yourself such a despicable person in that series? But we don't have to answer that because we're talking about your book. But LeVar Burton, that small role that he had in it was just very, very funny. And he seems like he's always such a good sport.
Well, he is, particularly when, he's always my nemesis in everything I do. Well, he's not my nemesis in fan fiction. He's actually helps me. But there's another piece we did. I did a short, I love doing Fresh Hell, and I wish I was still doing it, actually.
It was hilarious.
Well, thank you. I thought it was really pretty good, and we just couldn't get advertising to pay for it, and I couldn't keep paying for it, so we had to stop. I'd love to do it as a real series, a TV series. But I did a short called Brentwood that came out last year. It's kind of a musical short. And LeVar appeared again as himself in that as sort of my nemesis. So yeah, he's fun. He's fun, and he's got a good sense of humor about himself too.
Yeah, it was just super fun to watch. And I liked reading. I mean, there was like a real tenderness to your relationship in fan fiction.
Absolutely. As there is in life.
I was wondering if you've actually read any Star Trek fan fiction, and if that was one of the inspirational points to like including them as part of like a fandom culture, like inside your book.
No, I have never read fan fiction at all. I know what it is, clearly. And I'm not sure my book is exactly fan fiction, but I thought it was you know, it was about fans and it's fiction. So I thought it would be an interesting title. But, you know, because I've heard somebody or read somebody comment on Goodreads saying, you know, I know fan fiction and this is not good fan fiction. Well, it's not fan fiction, really. It's a semi-autobiographical novel that's black comedy and a thriller. But I think if I were to retitle the book in any way, I would call it maybe The Common Denominator, because I really think the book is about two common denominators, I think, which is fans and fear. And they kind of meet in this book. I think they're both something that we all experience and have experience with. I've never met anyone who's not a fan of someone, including me. And I try to express that in the book, that everybody is a fan, including myself.
I think that one of the things Megan and I were talking about, and one of the things that I was curious about was, the perpetrator in the book is posing as Lal, who was a character in a Star Trek episode called Offspring, where Data mm-hmm. creates a daughter mm-hmm. for himself. And Megan and I were just chatting before this interview how in fan fiction, a lot of times, like offspring of popular characters is a popular fan fiction trope. So in a way, whether mm-hmm. you intended it or not, that fit very, very well.
Right. I understand. Well, I thought, using Lal too was I was trying to tie my own personal fear to this new fear that has obsessed me in the book. And it, in both cases, there's sort of they come from father figures and daddyism and that sort of thing. And so I was trying to, that's why I used Lawless, to kind of connect those two things.
It was perfect because parenthood kind of was just this thread just running through the background of the entire story. Right. I believe both in the memoir version of it and mm-hmm. also the noir version. And right. that episode was just very tender because, you know, I think it deals a lot with fear and mm-hmm. fear of humanity and fear of feeling. And there was a lot of that in this book too, which is why it's sort of difficult for me to describe when I'm telling people you need to read this book, because it is very funny. And you do drag James Woods quite a few times, which was great. Very well, very much noted on that case. But there were so many moments, just like Offspring, the episode, that were just very tender and very heartfelt and just tugged at your heartstrings. And just, it's unlike anything I've ever read. And I believe Megan said something very similar.
Oh, well, thank you so much. I appreciate that. And I was trying to hopefully do something original and at least for you and Megan, it was.
I've never read anything like it before. And I loved how you tied in all these like very important themes, but you also kept it light and to read. And it was just a very entertaining read. And there are other episodes that were mentioned throughout the book, or did you brought those up? Did you have any other episodes in mind when you were writing this book?
Not really. I think I could probably do a whole book using Measure of a Man, maybe.
I was thinking of that episode too, and how it deals with artificial intelligence.
Right, and it deals with slavery and creating a slave race. And, I think we could find some really wonderful villain to, who maybe confuses me with the character and wants to create clones of me to create a, I'm coming up with the second book.
That right sounds now. Great. When can we read it?
Next, if the pandemic keeps going, soon.
Awesome. That's great. You heard it here first, everybody. Yeah, no, Megan and I were talking about Measure of a Man as well when we were preparing for this. Mm. So There were other moments that were very, very funny. And you wove Gene Roddenberry into it, who you absolutely cannot separate from Star Trek at all. No. Were you a fan when you came into Star Trek itself? I know you, I mean, you've worked in so many other things, and Dude, Where's My Car? I mean, you peaked at that. So
yeah. Absolutely. That's that was the high watermark for me. was I a fan? To a degree, sure. I mean, I didn't see the show when it was first on the air, the original series. But when I was in college, I remember coming home from school, and a friend of mine and I would watch an episode every day when we came home. And so I've seen most of the original series. And yeah, I always enjoyed it. I enjoyed Star Trek most of all because it was so colorful. You know, the colors on Star Trek were so appealing on the original show. You didn't see a lot of magenta on other shows.
And, yeah, they were very poppy.
It looked like nothing else. It, even at its most crude, because in those days they didn't have, you know, they weren't that advanced technologically and like they've gotten to be, but it still, the show looked so unique. And it was so utterly colorful and appealing.
I think Star Trek will always be something that's universal and something that's always loved because it dealt with so many themes of artificial intelligence and where we're going in the future. Mm-hmm. Ethical issue with that, even when it comes to dealing with those types of things. And
well, yeah. I mean, I think Star Trek is the great American epic, really. I mean, they just celebrated their 55th anniversary. So I think, you know, a lot of people don't take Star Trek seriously, and that's fine, but you kind of have to pay attention to something that's been around for 55 years and shows no signs of flagging. I mean, there's new shows being created as we speak, new Star Trek shows, a new movie in production, going to be in production soon. And I think it's here forever. I think it's just this giant tapestry that reflects on our society and on ourselves in the most unique way from the perspective of the future.
So quick question, are you a fan of thrillers and noir yourself? And do you have some favorite book recommendations for people who might want to know where to go?
Well, you know, all the good stuff is from the 40s, really 30s and 40s. I mean, I think I don't read that much noir stuff now. I don't read much fiction now. I'm really a nonfiction reader. But certainly Dashiell Hammett and Raymond Chandler and James Cain wrote Postman Always Rings Twice. And those are the guys to read because they really knew how to write that stuff.
How does your writing process work?
Well, you know, I had a collaborator on the book, a woman named Jeannie Darst, who was a novelist and also a television writer. We had both worked on a television series called Blunt Talk that Patrick Stewart was the star of. And she was a writer on the show. And when I first got the idea to write this book, I thought, I don't know, I better run this story by somebody first to see if it's worth writing. And I met with Jonathan Ames. He's somebody you could read currently who writes noir and all sorts of styles, but he's a brilliant writer, Jonathan Ames. And he wrote the series Blunt Talk, and he also wrote a series called Bored to Death that was Ted Danson and Zach Galifianakis. And so I had a dinner with Jonathan and ran the story by him, and he said, you gotta write this story. So I said, okay. And he said, but you don't wanna have to write it yourself, do you? And right, you're busy. And this is before the pandemic, right before. And I said, yeah, I really could use some guidance on this because I've never written a book and I'm busy doing acting stuff. And so the idea was, he recommended Jeannie. As it turns out, the literary agent recommended her as well. And his idea was that I would tell her the story that I had in mind and over a glass of wine, and then she'd write the book. And then I put my name on it. Well, I never thought that exactly would happen. And in fact, it didn't even come close to that. But we met several times and I told her the story and we broke it down into chapters so that we could write a proposal. And after that, it was just sort of, she was an inspiration to me. She inspired me to write more. There are chapters in the book that I wrote completely by myself. There are chapters that she has some input in. There are chapters that she wrote that I completely rewrote because I thought they were a good idea, but let me put them in my voice. So it wound up being a wonderful collaboration, and it wound up really being good for me because, again, she encouraged me to write more. She didn't just ghostwrite the book, which was what I think the idea was originally. But so that's kind of how we did it.
One more point I want to make is, you know, Megan and I are also big Twilight Zone fans. Mm. And that is, you know, when we were talking about Star Trek being something that is always going, I mean, I know Twilight Zone kind of stops and starts, but people always circle back to it. Yeah. You were in an episode of one of the more, not most recent, but more recent Twilight Zones.
Right. I did an episode of Twilight Zone. I also did an Outer Limits episode.
Ooh, I love the Outer Limits. I have to find that.
I mean, the second Outer Limits. That's another one of those titles that they keep reviving because they're just, people love it. And I don't know how Twilight Zone ever fails because it's so good. The original was beyond good. The original was
The original, I think Richard Matheson did a lot of, was involved in some of the, I mean, the amount of writers that were in the original.
Oh, absolutely.
It's just like a whole list of amazing writers.
And directors too. I think Robert Altman directed some of them and Rod Serling, of course, was a genius on par with Roddenberry. I mean, they were kind of similar kinds of geniuses. And I did an episode of, I think, the first revival of Twilight Zone. And it turns out that John DeLancey was in that episode with me. And we didn't know each other. And I didn't have much of a part in it. I think he may have had a better part. I've never seen it. But I think he may have had a better part than I had. I didn't meet him while we were doing it, but we discovered years later that we'd both been in the same episode. But I love Twilight Zone, and certainly the Shatner Twilight Zone could very well be the best episode ever of Twilight Zone.
But which one are you talking about? The one with the plane, or the one with the fortune teller?
Yeah, no, the one with the plane, I think, is like classic Twilight Zone.
So this has been awesome.
Do you plan on writing any other books after this in the future?
Well, you know, it wasn't until today that I actually thought, there may be another story in Measure of a Man and taking off from that. But I have a couple of other ideas about things I'd like to write. Completely different style and completely different kind of piece. But if I find myself with a lot of time, yeah, I can imagine doing that.
Well, we would love to have you back we'd love to have you back no matter what you write. You're fun to talk to.
Thank you. Well, I'd love to be here with you again. You're both delightful. And thank you so much for reading the book and particularly for enjoying it. And great to be with you.
All right. We are going to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.